as time went on, I found that the emotional baggage that people were hanging on to was making them sick and was creating depression and anxiety and phobias and pain and diseases and everything. And what I found eventually was that this emotional baggage that we talk about is far more real and concrete than we could ever imagine, and that it is the biggest underlying source of disease, I believe, that that exists in the world today. And that's why about 6 years ago I left practice and wrote this book, The Emotion Code, to get this out to the world.
And it's a good book, 400-plus pages, dealing with a lot of different ways that people get trapped with their emotions and how they can they get out of it. When you talk about trapped emotion, what do you mean by that?
Well, basically, to understand what a trapped emotion is, you have to understand, you have to think about and understand the energy field of the body. You know, if you think about your hand, you look at your hand, you know, you've seen that hand before, and you could pick it out of a lineup. But if you magnify it 100 times, you couldn't pick it out anymore. It looks completely different. If you magnified it about 850,000 times, you'd be looking at the individual molecules that make up the hand. And if you pick a particular molecule and you zero in on that about a million times, you'd see that you're looking face-to-face with a single individual atom. And if you look inside that atom, you see that there's really nothing in there but just empty space and little energies that are flitting around at the speed of light. And so really, that's what we are. We're beings of pure energy. Now, we know that we can measure thoughts now electronically, and we can measure emotions as well. And what we see is that different emotions have different frequencies. And so if you're feeling an emotion of anger, well, that's a different vibrational energy. It's a different frequency than an emotion of sadness, for example. And that's a different emotional energy or frequency from an emotion of frustration and so on. Every emotion has its own frequency. Well, here's what happens to us. When we're feeling an intense emotion, sometimes that energy, that feeling is just too powerful for our physical body to process.
Good or bad, I assume,
well,
right?
Good or bad, yeah. Usually the ones that, unfortunately, in the world that we live in, is usually
the bad ones. The bad ones, right.
But what happens to us is in those moments, sometimes that emotion will become trapped or lodged in the body. Now, a trapped emotion, I have found, is a ball, literally a ball of energy from about the size of a baseball to the size of a cantaloupe. And wherever these things lodge in the body, they really will do two things to us. They will distort the normal energy field of the body, because that's really all the body is energy, you see. And so what I found in practice and what I've seen over the many, many years that we've been doing this, 22 years now, what we find is that when we release a trapped emotional energy from somebody, oftentimes there's an immediate change in how they feel. Oftentimes pain goes away immediately or dramatically diminishes. But the other effect that these things have is that they have an effect on our mental and emotional state.
Sure.
So that what happens is, well, for example, at first I didn't understand this because people would come back to me and they would, I remember one particular guy came back to me and he said, you know, Doc, he said, you cleared that emotion of anger from me and my low back is feeling dramatically better. But he said, there's something else that's happened to me. He said, I used to be a really angry person. I used to have a hair-triggered temper. And since you worked on me, I don't feel that way anymore. I just feel kind of relaxed. How did you do that? What did you do to me? And at that point, I said, well, I'm not really sure. But now we realize that what happens to us, you see, is that when you have a trapped emotion, that ball of energy is literally, I believe, vibrating at that rate or at that frequency, whatever that emotion is. And so in a strange kind of way, your physical body, your body is actually feeling that emotion. Part of you is feeling that emotion all the time. So in this guy's case, for example, he had a trapped emotion of anger. It was affecting his low back. But at the same time, it was tending to make him more angry, because if a situation would arise for him where he might have a tendency to feel angry, he would slip right into feeling angry very easily, because literally part of his being was vibrating at that specific frequency of anger. And that's why it's so powerful to find these things and release these, because it makes immediate changes not only in the physical body, but also in how we feel and with these emotions, you know, that we can't seem to get over, and depression, anxiety, phobias, all these things.
Why does it seem when an elderly person, I guess it doesn't even have to be elderly, but when a couple, when one of them dies, the other one sometimes dies pretty close, you know, right after. How come?
Well, you know, that's interesting. And they've done studies on that, and they find that you are a lot more likely to die within that first year. Well, I think that part of that has to do with the fact that your immune system takes a big hit when, you know, your spouse dies, for example. Your immune system goes down. You're much more likely to succumb to something.
Really? Okay.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and if you think about it, a lot of people, too, lose the desire to live. And there are some amazing studies. You know, the subconscious mind is so powerful. The conscious mind is only 10% of our intelligence, they say. And the subconscious is 90%. And it's the subconscious mind that is the archiving holographic computer. You know, it's tracking everything that you've ever done, every moment of your life, everything you've ever eaten or tasted or touched or smelled, every face you've ever seen in a crowd, everything, every moment of your life. It's all logged in there. And that part of you, that subconscious part of you, largely determines whether you're going to live or die or get well or not. You know, I remember a famous story where a woman goes in. She's not feeling well. She goes into the hospital. They run some tests. And the doctor comes back and he says, "I'm sorry, you've got this inoperable kind of cancer. There's nothing that we can do." And she says, "How long do I have?" He says, "About 6 months." About 6 months later, she dies. And a couple months after that, they were doing a records review at this hospital, apparently, and they found that her records had been mixed up with somebody else's.
Yeah. She could have lived much longer.
Probably. But the interesting thing about that is that, you know, the woman who had the cancer, what did they tell her? "Oh, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine." And guess what? She's probably still alive.